The kids and youth of Parkdale have been practicing for over a month now their Christmas pageant titled Luke's Christmas Tale. It is written and directed by our own Chris Tate and his daughter Ellie, and we're very, very thankful for their creativity and for sharing Christ with us in this creative way. I invite you to listen and watch and enjoy the pageant that the kids have prepared for you, and you're welcome to clap your hands after to support them.
Advent is a season of miracles and wonder. What do you wonder about? Vous êtes déjà demandé pourquoi les quatre évangiles nous racontent la vie de Jésus de manière si différente? Do you ever wonder why only two of the Gospels tell us about the birth of Jesus, and why they tell us only two different stories?
And do you ever wonder if there are sharks in the Bible?
Wait, why would they wonder that?
I just thought I saw over there. Actually, never mind.
Super, then you can go backstage while I finish this intro. Enfin, avez-vous déjà demandé ce que cela faisait d'écrire un livre sur lequel les gens réfléchiraient encore des milliers d'années plus tard?
Well, the children and youth in Parkdale have been wondering those things, and this morning we invite you to wonder with us as we present Luke's Christmas Tale.
Evangelicalists, let's discuss our progress on those Gospels. As the Holy Spirit, it's my job to inspire you to do the best work you can. Don't forget, I've been responsible for every word of Scripture so far, and I'm very impressed by how it's turned out.
Yes, we know.
Well, Mark, since you seem so eager to be getting along with things, why don't you start with your Gospel? Remember, if we don't grab the audience right away, they will never finish reading the good news about Jesus.
Right. Well, my plan is to just go straight to the start of Jesus' ministry and launch the story with his baptism. Focus on the key messages and keep it short and sweet.
Throwing us into the middle of the action. I like it. Good work. John, what about you?
Well, I was aiming for something a bit more poetic. How's this? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
A bit abstract, a bit mysterious, but I'm sure it will make people stop and think. Let's try it out.
Yeah, mysterious is one word for it.
What was that, Mark?
Oh, nothing.
Well, whatever. Matthew, how are you going to open your gospel?
Aha! I am presenting a genealogy of Jesus.
You mean another long list of names that runs on for pages that most people have never heard of?
Yeah.
I love it! That's why I've done it over and over again in the Bible so far.
Yeah, we noticed.
What was that, Mark?
Oh, nothing.
Well, whatever. Over to you, Luke. How are you going to grab the future reader's attention?
Well, I mean, I was thinking.
Can we hurry this up?
Okay, I was planning to write about Jesus' birth and John the Baptist's birth too.
Huh?
Hold on. Let me get this straight. You want to start the story when Jesus and John the Baptist were babies and couldn't really do anything?
Well, sorta. Actually, I would start with their mothers before they had babies.
Mothers and babies? What's the angle here? Is this like some kind of superhero origin story? You know, we already use that, look, I'm a tiny helpless baby, but soon I'll save the world bit for Moses.
Also for Samson in the book of Judges.
And don't forget Samuel.
Yes, I remember. My point is, I want something fresh.
Oh, perfect timing. Hi, it sounds like you you have an opening in your good news department. I'm ready to start anytime. I can't wait to see my name in big letters. Get this, guys. The Gospel According to Larry!
Larry? Don't you work in the Proverbs department? What are you doing here?
Look, I'm sick of writing Proverbs all day. It's always, a wise man does this, but a fool does that, over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm getting sick of it. I'm going crazy inside. I can't take it anymore. I need a better assignment.
Get a hold of yourself. Don't you remember what happened the last time someone turned down an assignment from God? Does the name Jonah ring a bell?
Oh no, not the whale. Please, anything but the whale. I'll be good. I'll write Proverbs. Lots and lots of Proverbs. Wonderful Proverbs. Just keep me out of that whale's belly.
It wasn't a whale, Larry. It was a fish. A giant fish. Why does everyone keep translating that wrong?
So, are we done here? I need to go finish writing my gospel so that Matthew and Luke can just copy from it like they always do.
Yeah, at least my work's original. At least, I think it is. Half the time, I can't even tell what I'm writing about.
Actually, John, I would like to chat with you about that. Let's walk and talk. Mark, go finish your work. Matthew, stop copying from Mark. And Luke, I need you to figure out how you're going to open your gospel with something really powerful. This needs to be the biblical birth story to all birth stories.
Talk for a minute. I really need your advice about how I can tell the story of Jesus' birth.
Sure. Where are you stuck right now?
Well, I'm not really sure. I have a single main theme for the story, but it's all a bunch of little pieces.
I organize my gospel around the idea that everything important that happened in Jesus' life had been foretold in Scripture. I also wanted the story to have a big bad villain like King Herod, who saw Jesus as a threat to his power and wealth because he was sent to save Israel.
Soldiers, bring me the baby. He must never become the king of the Jews.
And then we have the dramatic escape to Egypt by Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in the middle of the night to avoid a massacre by Herod's soldiers.
Yes, Herod is a classic bad guy, and the escape is dramatic. But I was thinking about how ordinary people were living at the time that Jesus was born, and what his birth might have meant to them. What was it like to live under the rule of the mighty Roman Empire?
I want to know how many subjects I have so I can tax them and raise large armies. Make everybody travel to the ancestors' hometown for a census.
So this is a story of a married couple forced to travel a long way from their home in Nazareth, all because of the emperor's decree while the woman was pregnant.
Very pregnant.
And when they arrived in Bethlehem, they had no family or friends to stay with and nowhere else to go.
There is no room in the inn. You two can sleep in the stable with the animals for all I care.
I see your point. But I'm worried that people won't understand that Jesus was great and important right from the beginning. I want people to remember that everything in Jesus' life was the fulfillment of the words of so many of the prophets. And for me, the three wise men from the east who followed the star to Bethlehem to bring the precious gifts to the King of the Jews are the perfect way to show his greatness.
Do we get to keep these fancy gifts?
I can hold those for you. Oh no, it's that whale again. Larry's gotta go.
I told Larry.
Not a whale, it's a big fish.
Hide your rope.
It's hard to hold on these things.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
So now, instead of kings or wise men from the far away bringing fancy gifts to Jesus, we just have local shepherds who are amazed by what they have seen and heard, coming to a stable to see the baby and give their compliments to the mother and father.
An angel of the Lord told us that this baby, your son, is the Messiah who will save us all.
I treasure these words and I will ponder them in my heart.
Then, having confirmed what the angel had told them with their own eyes, the shepherds went to tell their families and friends the good news of the night.
Before we could do that, but could, maybe we could get our fancy gifts back. Okay, never mind. Going to spread the good news now. Good news, people. Good news.
Luke, could my cousin Elizabeth and I have a word with you?
What's it on your mind?
Motherhood, specifically. The mothers that carried these two babies that you want to write about, Jesus and John the Baptist.
So you want bigger roles?
Well, my pregnancy was a small miracle itself, since my husband and I had no children for such a long time, and it was promised to us by an angel. But truly, my cousin Mary is blessed, and blessed is the fruit of her womb. For she is the mother of my Lord, and as soon as she greeted me with her news, I felt the baby inside me leap for joy.
Ooh, I need to write this down. And Mary, how did you feel when you found out you were pregnant?
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
I couldn't have written it better myself.
No, you couldn't have. Good thing we came along to help you out of your jam.
Well, Luke, now you have mothers giving speeches, a Savior born in a stable, and ordinary shepherds announcing the birth of that Savior to the world. And the whole story seems to revolve around a government census. I'm not sure how this will go over with a modern first century audience, unless you add a whale for excitement. You got a lot of work to do to convince the Holy Spirit.
I know, and I better get back to it. Thank you all for your help today.
Well, Luke, I have to admit, you really turned that one around. God is very happy with your gospel and the way it tells the story of Jesus. His exact words were, "This is destined to be a Christmas classic." But of course, he also said that about the movie Home Alone.
Gee, thanks.
In fact, we have a new project for you now. Someone needs to tell the story of all the stuff that happened after Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven. Basically, the story of the early church. Working title is, All the Stuff That Happened After Jesus Died, Was Resurrected, and Ascended to Heaven.
Or maybe we could call it the Acts of the Apostles?
Sure. Maybe. We'll run it by the Angel Focus Group.
Give a bow for Chris and Ellie. I want to hear Chris and Ellie for a moment. Chris and Ellie, I want to hear for a moment, please. On behalf of Sunday School and the congregation, we just want to say a little thank you to you both for writing this script of the pageant and directing it. Thank you. I know Chris and Ellie are very shy and they don't want to be on the spot, but when they wrote this script, it was in the spring, last spring, and they came and they told me, I have a script and we'd like to present it for the pageant. And we read it and we said, absolutely, this is fantastic. Not knowing that the Holy Spirit was actually at work because the Sunday school leaders have planned that this year we will be learning about the Bible in the curriculum of the Sunday school. So all the kids have been learning so far since the beginning of September was about the Bible and how it is written. And so this script came really by the Holy Spirit about how was the Christmas story written by Luke and by others, by other Gospels. It's not only sharing your creativity that we appreciate and sense of humor. You've given us Christ, and you've given us education and knowledge about the Bible, and that will grow the faith of our children and youth. And so we're very grateful and thankful to all you've done. Thank you. I want to also take a moment to thank our Sunday school teachers who helped and the parents who helped, especially Emilia and Janet, who've been here for all the practices. Thank you so much for all your help. And a word of thanks also to our tech team in the back, Richard and Kyle and Susan, who are here to accompany all the practices yesterday and the dress rehearsals and all that. Thank you so much for all your help.